I don't have the other one with, or thought to grab it, sorry. All right. Well, what's interesting is the message today is entitled, We All Need a Bit of Reassurance. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day that many times in my spiritual walk, or even in everyday life, it seems that sometimes you can really be on track, you know, and full of confidence and strong in what you believe, and then sometimes it's not that easy either, you know, especially when it comes to spiritual things, because when you start looking at traditional Christianity, you know, many of the professing Christians have some vastly different ideas on certain things. And, you know, it's like there are certain times of the year where it kind of gets you down a little bit, right? Christmas and some of those things. But, you know, if you're sitting out in the tractor or you're driving in your car or doing something, have you ever had those times when you've been praying or just thinking and meditating and you get those feelings of doubt? You ever had that? Sometimes you just think, man, maybe I'm all wrong on this. Maybe I'm totally off track. Where can I go for some reassurance? Which, of course, you know, obviously that's why we get together. But the real big answer, of course, is by the Bible and God. That's where you go for reassurance. But since that's exactly what you're kind of unsure of sometimes, you can't really go there all the time. But it's not bad. You just need a little reassurance that you're on track. And God wants you to be sure of the things you believe. And he says, prove all things. Now, here's an example for you, what I'm talking about. So I've been in radio for a bunch of years, right? Since college, my first year in college. So about 37 years in radio. And I feel that I've developed a pretty good sense and a solid base of knowledge in radio. You know, I know how it works. I've been on the air. I know how people respond when they call in for stuff. And now that I'm in advertising, as I work with business owners, I feel pretty confident in my recommendations to how they should advertise, okay? You know, especially if they've been honest about the information they've given me on what they want to do and how they're trying to do it and who they're trying to reach. So I get together with them. We get a plan. We talk about it. We go, okay, let's do this, all right? And then we get it going. But the one thing I've learned, even with some of my best clients that invest the most money with me, is they need to be reassured that it's working. I mean, they can see their business running and they can see things happening and maybe there's more money in the till. But when it comes to that plan, they need me to be in there saying, that's working, it's good. And I neglect to do that sometimes too, you know. I've got one client where, Kurt, we need to get together. I need to stop my advertising for a while. And it's funny because then I'll get together with him. I'll say, you know, X, Y, Z. Then pretty soon, oh, okay, well, he needed that reassurance. And I, you know, and every year, be the same thing. I got to stop. And so, it's not a tricky thing either. You know, it's like if you've done the work and you've used your collective knowledge to come up with the best plan, and you give it time to work. It's going to work. That's what I know about that's what I know about my business, okay? It's going to work. I mean, every radio station has people listening, okay? And they will hear it. How they respond is a different story, but we know they'll hear it. Okay. So, it's kind of like this. I mean, have you ever had to go to the doctor for something? Okay? You got a pain. You're feeling sick. You've had this thing forever or whatever it is. Or maybe you just got to go for a physical. You know? My last physical had been a while since I had one, so I'm okay. I got this physical. I'm trying to get this life insurance policy. I'm like, okay, I haven't had a physical forever. It's like, what are they going to find? You know, I've probably got cancer. You know, or I got something. You know, you mean everybody thinks that, right? So then you go and you're nervous for 3 days, and you go and get this physical, and they take all this blood and they do all these things, and now I got to wait for the results to come back. And then pretty soon you get this letter in the mail. It's like, man, I wonder if I should open that. Well, he'd have called if it was really bad. Yeah, but a letter is even more ominous, you know. Okay, you open up, everything's fine. Oh, you're unhealthy. You're healthy as a horse. Oh, wow, I feel good now. Right? That's the best I've felt in a long time. I'm going to go out and have a hamburger at Applebee's to celebrate, you know. Right? It's the reassurance that made you feel better. I mean, you're in the exact same health now as you were before you took the physical. But it's the reassurance. And you know, and I think back, when I think about the apostles, when Jesus and they were bopping around on the earth doing stuff with Jesus, and they're doing their thing, and they're going to different cities, and they're spreading the good news, and preaching, and baptizing, and they're even seeing miracles happen in front of their eyes. And yet, they still had their moments of doubt. Isn't that amazing? You know? And when they haul Jesus off, a couple of them are following along, and they're, oh man, what's going to happen now? You know? Or can you imagine after they crucified him, now they're just kind of sitting around, and they're scattering. Now what are we going to do? They had their moments of doubt. And they had to have a lot of faith after that, you know? And I look at Peter's sermon after the Holy Spirit was first sent. And so much of it wasn't necessarily to convert thousands of people, even though that's what happened. I think a lot of it was there to reassure each other about what Jesus had taught them. Let's go to Acts, and we'll go to Acts 2. And just look at that, starting at verse 22. When he starts talking, "Hey, men of Israel, hear these words. The Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it wasn't possible that he should be holden of it. You know, for David speaks concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's on my right hand that I should not be moved.'" See, they're encouraging each other with that more than anybody else. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." Okay, I'm reassured. Be reassured. "Because you will not leave my soul in the grave, neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David. He's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." He's going over everything they know. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we were all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which we now see and we now hear. For David isn't ascended into the heavens. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel be assured." I'm reassuring you that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified Lord and Christ. So he's talking to all the people. But a lot of that's to reassure each other, I think. That's just my belief on that. And we need to be reminded of a lot of things, of God's salvation, of his ways, his great plan. That's what he's doing here. He's reminding everybody of that. But we also need reassurance that what God says is going to happen. It will happen. Because the further you are away from it, if you don't read the Bible very much, you're not praying throughout the week, it's pretty easy to start getting off track and start doubting some of those things, right? And faith, it requires faith, but the thing about faith is, I was thinking about this, it's a weird combination of emotion and logic, you know? Because you can't buy into something, at least this is my thought, you can't buy into something that just totally defies logic, you know? I mean, if someone said to you, "Yeah, you see that big ball of fire," if you've never seen the sun, "see that big ball of fire up in the sky? Every morning it goes down over there and it comes up over here." And you're like, "Huh?" But we believe that because we see it all the time, right? It's logical to us. And you can't buy into the Bible. I know people that have read the Bible over and over and know it word for word. You can't buy into what it says unless you have the Holy Spirit to unlock your mind. You just can't do it. I know people that know way more about the Bible than I do, but they don't live it and don't believe. Oh, yeah, some of those things are real in there, maybe. I don't know. I don't think there was a flood, you know? So, and then you got the thing where you feed your emotion, right? And that's what helps you stay on fire. You know, revivals are emotional, right? But without the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth part, that emotion is meaningless as well, you know? So in that same chapter of the Bible in Acts 2, verse 37, so here's all these people out there. Wow, when they heard this stuff that he's talking about, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the apostles, wow, hey everybody, what should we do? I'm excited. They wanted to be in on this. They were emotionally charged. They go, wow, they're fired up. And they just needed some reassurance. Well, here's what you do. Okay. You know? So reassurance is such an important part of everything in our lives. Not even spiritual stuff, but everyday life. You know, sometimes Carla will be in the back room working on some cards or a frame or something, you know, the things she creates. And she'll, hey, Kiara, come here. I need your opinion on something. You know? And here's what I learned, okay? She doesn't really need my opinion. I'm sure of that because when it comes to making, if I was to make a card, it would really be stupid looking. I mean, it would be dumb. You know, she's got this thing about how to put stuff together that just, she's got a way. And not everybody can do that. So it's not my opinion that she really needs, you know. It's my reassurance. Carla, look, that looks great. It looks great. You know what you're doing. It looks great. And even someone is incredibly, remember that you've heard of the Beatles, right? And Paul McCartney was one of the big songwriters with him and John Lennon. And they were, I mean, boy, they changed the world of music in the 60s. And in the 70s, after the Beatles split up, so here's Paul McCartney. And I read this, it was a memoirs from his wife, Linda. She had written a book one time about Paul McCartney and their life together. So here they are, they're in this house in Scotland that they've got out in the prairie somewhere, this beautiful little place. And Paul's out there, they write songs, he's writing songs and stuff. Well, this is after the Beatles had broken up, and she was saying how he was very unsure of himself. He'd come to her all the time and say, you think this is any good? He'd play her a song, and well, should I do it this way or this way? And I was just, I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, wow, a guy like Paul McCartney, I mean, for the past 10 years has changed the world. And Linda said, all Paul needed was reassurance that what he wrote was good. You know, she said, Paul, you're the songwriter. Trust your instincts. It's good. And God knows that we're all the same way. You know, we all need some reassurance. And that's why he inspired lots of stuff to be written in the Bible to encourage us. You know, up to today and into the future. You know, this stuff is here for us. A lot of us to go, oh, wow, yeah, okay, I see that. But a lot of it's just to encourage us. And the best way to stay assured and encouraged is to read God's words, you know. In the same way my client is assured when I just say, yeah, you know, that plan's good for you, you know. Or that, this is a good bull. It's a good bull. You know, I mean, they need the reassurance. Now, it's a different story if it was, you know, if you didn't believe it was and you lie, and that's different. But, you know, for the most part, if you know your thing, you know, people can trust you on that, and that's the same way. So if you picture Jesus, let's say you're out with Jesus, and you guys go out in the evening. Let's go sit in the garden at Gethsemane. We're gonna talk. You know, here's Jesus beside you. Here's some stuff he can say to you, right? Hey, you know, Kurt, don't worry, I won't ever leave you, and I won't forsake you. Oh, yeah, that's makes me feel pretty good. You know, it's Hebrews 13:5. You know, Kurt, because, you know, God wants to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to you guys, because you're the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. It's impossible for him to lie. And we who have fled to take a hold of this hope offered to us can be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and secure. You can trust what God says. Yeah, you can. That's Hebrews 6:17-19. The Lord God Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand. Man, Isaiah 14:24. So you're sitting in the garden with Jesus. Oh, man, but you know, man, look at this. Oh, hey, don't fear. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, here I am. Isaiah 41:10. I got a few more here I wanted to run through. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. You know, relax. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. The Spirit. Now, you see, we can't sit right there with him like the apostles did, but he sent the Holy Spirit to give us that same inner knowledge and inner wisdom. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Romans 8, 26. We can rest assured that, like God says, here's my plan, here's what's going to happen. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Romans 16, 20. And talking about Jesus, he was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So don't doubt that you're healed. Don't let Satan like get you off track and discourage you. It's words of encouragement right there in the Bible. That was Isaiah 53, 5. The one who calls you is faithful. He'll do it. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he'll raise us too. That's 1 Corinthians. In Christ, all will be made alive again. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Just great words of encouragement. You know, Jesus said, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one, I love this line, no one can snatch them out of my hand. You know, my Father who has given them to me is greater than everything. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's John 10, 28, 29. And Isaiah 40, verse 8 reminds us, the word of the Lord stands forever. And there's so much encouragement in the Bible if you just sit down and look through there. You know, you could probably find 150 verses like that. So we can see that God is a very reassuring God. His word is left here for us so we can be encouraged. It's the Bible. And it is very reassuring. You know? God gives us so many reassurances. We couldn't possibly cover, you know, a 15th of them right now. But, you know, one of the biggest ones is God does finish what he starts. You know? God will do what he says. Regardless of the situations and the things we go through, we've heard, you know, a lot of prayers for healing and a lot of prayers this morning in our prayer testimony, you know. Philippians 1, 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. He's coming. So don't get sidetracked. Let's just look at some of these truths. It's God that began this good work in you and me. We didn't, you know, he chose us, right? Not only should he receive credit for that, but, you know, we need to realize God chose us. Be reassured, he's not going to quit. This work is in you and me. It's not on the outside. It's in you, like it says back there in Philippians 1:6. God doesn't offer his grace from the outside in. It's from the inside out. You already have it, you know? And I was reading about that. Christianity, it says, is the only religion that teaches a person can be made whole by a process that begins on the inside. Wow, that's interesting. Other religions teach we got to begin with performance outside and with works that will make us acceptable to whatever the God is that they have. And God doesn't whitewash the outside. He washes the inside white. And I was reading a story about, this is funny, William Randolph Hearst. This guy was rich, and he invested a fortune collecting valuable art treasures from all around the world. Maybe you heard this story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they once said that one day he read this description of this incredible, valuable piece of art. So he's got his agent, and he said, okay, you got to find this. I got to have that. And the guy looked around for months, and then the agent finally says, you know, I finally found the treasure. And to William Randolph Hearst's surprise, it was stored in his own warehouse. He already had it. Isn't that incredible? The multimillionaire searched all over the world for this treasure that he already possessed. And you know, we're kind of like that, right? I mean, think about it. We already possess the treasure inside of us because Jesus Christ died and sent the Holy Spirit and we accepted that. It's already in us. And also, he also says the work within you and me will be finished at Christ's return. We'll carry it to completion until the return of Jesus Christ. That's what it said in Philippians 1:6. Anyway, every one of us always says, we're frustrated because we're not perfect. We know we can't be, but we're still frustrated because we're not. But we got to have a little latitude in understanding this one thing. It doesn't mean you give up, but we're never going to be perfect until Jesus Christ returns. I'm not saying we have an excuse, but the reassurance is that God will finish what he starts, and we shall be perfected. I was reading another story. I wasn't going to use this, but I will anyway. Albert Einstein. Everyone knows about Albert Einstein, right? The great physicist, Time Magazine's Man of the Century. And I don't know if this story is true either. It said that he was once traveling on this train, and the conductor came down the aisle punching tickets, you know, and he gets to Einstein, and Einstein's going like this, and he can't find his ticket, you know, and picture that hair on his hand. Disheveled guy, like. Anyway, so he's looking all over, checks his briefcase, can't find his ticket. And then he looks in the seat beside him, he still couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor says, you know, Einstein, we all know who you are, you know, I'm sure you bought a ticket, don't worry about it. Conductor goes down the aisle, punching all the rest of the people's tickets, and he's going to go to the next car, and he turns around. Now Albert's on the floor, crawling around, looking for his ticket. Looking under the seats, and he goes back to him and says, Albert, you know, we know, Mr. Einstein, you bought a ticket. We're okay with it. Don't worry. You know, you don't need one. I'm sure you bought one. And Albert Einstein finally says, young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Gotta have that ticket. I can't remember where I was going. And, you know, we're kind of that way too, aren't we? I mean, we all know where we're going, but sometimes we don't. Remember where we're going. You know, because God finishes what he starts. And he already started it in us by giving us the Holy Spirit. And that kind of reassurance is what we need to share. And that's what the Word of God wants us to do is, you know, God's reassurance gives us confidence to go out and tell the good news to others and give them reassurance. Philippians 1:14 says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the Word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You know, when the Roman Christians witnessed Paul's assurance, boy, that gave them more confidence too. He's sitting in jail, and here we are. Well, we're not in jail. Let's do it if he can. And he was excited that his adverse circumstances had become something that fired everybody up. You can read about that in Philippians 1, again, verses 12 to 19. But, you know, Paul was a really good preacher and a really good teacher, and he knew, though, that people needed more in learning than just, you know, it's just a part of what they need. You know, it's like you can teach them stuff, but he knew that people needed encouragement. And there was one story that kind of showed that. He was talking about this guy that I was reading an article about, Paul. He was talking about this gal named Marlis, and she made trips to the branch post office all the time. One day, she gets there, and there's this long line of people waiting for the postal clerk, and she's standing there, and all she needed was a couple stamps. So this person says, you know, why don't you just use the stamp machine over here? I mean, you get all the stamps you want. You're going to stand in line forever. And she looks at him. She says, I know, but the stamp machine can't ask me about my arthritis. She just needed to talk. That was part of her day. I want to talk and get some encouragement from the stamp, from the guy at the desk. So people need to be reassured that they matter and that someone cares. You know, it's the privilege of you and me. We're already reassured, right? It's a privilege of ours to go reassure somebody else. You know, if you need reassurance, go find it from your brothers and sisters that are reassured. God promises if you let him begin that good work in you, which he did, he says he won't stop work until you're finished. And if you've been discouraged for whatever reason, you know, the church is here as a place of worship to come and be reassured that God cares and the people of God care. So if you do, you know, go out and reassure somebody this week that God cares. Thank you.